As we today turn to our next encounter in our series of Jesus meeting people where they are, I'm going to give you something I think is kind of interesting. You may not care one bit, but I kind of think this is somewhat is significant for me. So I came here July 4 of 2004. So I think this July will be 18, something like that. I got to use my fingers and my toes to count when I get to that point. And I think it'll be 18 years that I've been here. Now, here's what's kind of interesting that may or may not mean anything to you, but it does to me. So today, as I stand before you from July 4, 04 to whatever today is, May 1st of 2022, we've had a lot of Sundays that we've missed due to vacation time or, you know, different emphases with things. But today will be the 750th sermon that I have delivered here at Mountain View. I'm like, this is crazy. 750 times that I have stood up here in that time from July 4 to today in 2004. And I'm like, how in the world is that possible? So I so hope that somewhere in the previous 749 times up to last Sunday, I so hope somewhere along the way, there was at least one sermon where you thought, wow, that was pretty good. Wow, that was worth me coming today. So if that is true in the previous 749 times, then I will be very grateful. But I truly cannot believe the way the numbers start to add up that this is now 750. So as we today embark on number 750, we're going to look at a different individual that Jesus encountered that had an awesome time, and it does pertain to blindness and sight being restored. We'll get to that with our passage. But I want to give you the reminder every time we start these messages. As anthropologically speaking, the doctrine of man, every single person is a spiritual being. Because of the fall of man and the presence of Satan, every single person is a sinful being. There's not a perfect person in this place. Years ago, I heard somebody say that if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, you will mess it up. Right? Every single person is a sinful being. But the good news is, in the New Testament and God's plan for salvation, every single person is redeemable. Right? Even Jerry Kales, how about that? Every single person is, I love his testimony. Every single person is redeemable. We are savable. And that is what we're looking at as we walk through these encounters that Jesus had with individuals during the 30 or so years, or 3 or so years of his public ministry and 30 or so years of life. So we come today to a man that many people are familiar with. And he goes by the name in Mark of Bartimaeus. And that's where I want you to put in this morning, in Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look at the healing of blindness in this man named Bartimaeus. I also tell you as we start today that after about 2 weeks of dealing with the drainage and congestion of the stuff that falls from trees, I'm mostly over that part, and now I'm going to prophesy about 3 weeks worth of nagging cough. So as we go through the message, I'm not going to stop every time and say, pardon me, excuse me, I'm going to cough and keep on getting it. So I give you that disclaimer as we start. In Mark chapter 10, we have the encounter of this man that goes by the name of Bartimaeus. But I want to tell you that you also find a very similar encounter in both Matthew chapter 20 and in Luke chapter 18. There is some question as to whether or not these are the exact same encounters, because Mark is the only writer that actually gives you the man's name of Bartimaeus. So we'll look at that a little bit more as we get to it. As you look in Mark chapter 10, for some trivia, this is the very last healing miracle found in the gospel. Okay, there's about, I'm going to guess, about 17 healing miracles in Mark, and this is the last one you find. Now, that's because we're now very near the end of Jesus' life on the earth. We're about to go into Passion Week. The triumphal entry is the next thing Mark records. That leads into up to the crucifixion and resurrection. So we are very near the end of his ministry. And as we've gone through these encounters. I think this is number, I want to say 32, I think, something like that. And we've got about 40 or 41 that we're going to cover. Now, I've already looked ahead, just so you know. Between some Sundays that we have different emphases, Sundays I'm going to be out for different things. It's going to probably be the end of August before we get done and we'll start a brand new series then. So, we've got about 9 more encounters that we're going to look at, and this is one of those. So, we're very near the end of Jesus' ministry, and we read in verse 46 that as the followers, as those who were with Jesus came to Jericho, they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, and then we're introduced to a man named blind Bartimaeus. This man was the son of Timaeus, and he was sitting there by the highway, by the roadside, and he was there begging. When this man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and he was saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many of those who were there with him charged him that he should hold his peace, or basically just please be quiet. But Bartimaeus cried out the more, a great deal, and he kept on saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." As Jesus heard this in verse 49, he stood still, and he commanded for him to be called over there where Jesus was. So they called the blind man. They said to him, "Be of good comfort," or of good cheer. "Rise up, because he's calling you." He's calling for thee. And this man, in verse 50, he, casting away his garment, he got up, he rose, and he came there where Jesus was. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man responded and said to him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." So Jesus said to him, "I want you to go your way, because your faith has made you whole." You've been healed. And immediately, the summary statement is, he received his sight, and upon receiving his sight, he followed Jesus there on the way as they were traveling up to Jerusalem. Let me give you 3 words that stand out to me about Bartimaeus as we uncover the story. Number 1, Bartimaeus, because of his condition, because of his ailment, because of the suffering of his life, was a very, very desperate man. Now, you find that in the first couple of verses. The Bible sets a stage in verse 46 and says they were around the place called Jericho. Now, if you remember from last week, Zacchaeus, being the wee little man who climbed up the tree, was also there in Jericho. So we're very near the same type of geographical location. And the Bible says that he came there to Jericho, and as he was going out of Jericho is when he saw or heard this man there named Bartimaeus. Now, Jericho is one of the oldest cities of the world. If you go there today, they will tell that. I think it even says there, Jericho, the oldest city of the world, something like that, very old city. And it was known as the City of Palms. In the Old Testament, if you find a reference to the City of Palms, it's talking about Jericho. A lot of things happen in Jericho, Old Testament, and into the New Testament. This is the place where this encounter occurs. So the Bible speaks of a great multitude, and more than likely, since we are near the Passover, there's a lot of people now traveling between Jericho and Jerusalem. They're making preparation for this great feast. And as they're traveling there, we are introduced to the man who is described as blind Bartimaeus. Now, I will tell you that in Matthew's account of this encounter, Matthew says there were actually 2 men there seated by the road. There were 2 men who were crying out saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, Matthew does not give you their names. Mark does. Neither does Luke give you his name, but Mark does. So I'm going to say that while it appears to be the exact same encounter, exact same man Bartimaeus had a buddy with him, it may be that they're 2 completely different encounters. There's a whole lot of people a whole lot of people in Jericho, and I'm going to share this later, but it was very well known for blind beggars, especially beggars in particular, a very prosperous city. So it could be that there were lots of ones out there that Jesus could have encountered. Maybe he did go to the city one day, and there were two men sitting there, and they were crying out for healing. When a different day, there was one there named Bartimaeus crying out for healing. We don't know all the details with that. But it very well may be the case that two men are there, and one in particular was a little more known or prominent than the other. So Mark says, as I'm giving you the story, let me tell you his name. His name, according to Mark, is simply Bartimaeus. Now notice that what Mark does, he gives you a little information about that name. And he says that Bartimaeus was the son of a man named Timaeus. Now, technically, I think I'm right on this, technically, his name is not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is describing him and connecting him to a guy named Timaeus. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. Okay, Bar is son, Timaeus is his father's name. So maybe his father was well known in the area, and everybody knew this blind beggar, and they didn't really cry out, or he didn't give his name here. He just says he's a son of the man named Timaeus. Okay, so whoever Timaeus is, probably well-known type guy, he's got a son who is blind and is on the street begging, and we simply go by the name Bartimaeus. But technically, he's simply the son of a man named Timaeus. Now, the Bible says about him that he was blind. Diseases of the eye were quite common in this part of the world. And there are some reasons for that. You can look it up and you'll see what people think with that. But there were a lot of folks who had issues with the eyes in this part of the world. And of course, where Jesus is ministering. The Bible says about Bartimaeus as a blind man that where you found him was sitting beside the road and he was there begging. It would make sense. If you are blind, you're not able to engage in traditional occupations. It's really hard to do carpentry work. All right, it's hard to work in a square there as a merchant of some sort, sorting through materials and exchanging the funding. It's really hard to do this if you're blind. So if you are blind, it's going to be very common occupation, if you will, that you're going to have to beg for alms so you can survive. You need people to give you food. You need people to give you money. And so Bartimaeus, the son of a well-known man named Timaeus, is there around Jericho as Jesus is passing by. He's begging alms. Okay, he's begging for some help. And as he does so, he is blind. Now, everything was normal that day for Bartimaeus. It's a normal day. I don't know. He may even have his spot there beside the road because we are accustomed to things we're familiar with. Like, I mean, in churches, there's no assigned seats here per se. But I will say this. If I come on a Sunday morning and Dennis is not seated right there and he's seated right here, I don't think the devil's got a hold of him. Right? If I come in here one Sunday morning, and Jerry and Penny are not seated right there, and they're seated over there, I'm going to think the devil's got a hold of them, right? Well, not really, but the point is, we all have the places where we are accustomed to and we're familiar with. So it very well may be the case that Bartimaeus is sitting where he's always sitting every day. Everybody knows who he is. But on this day, everything's normal. He's begging alms, and then he hears a commotion. So when we move into the story, into the next verse, after he hears a commotion, he starts to ask around and wants to know what's going on. Right? Okay, who is approaching that's causing all this crowd of people to be making noise and shuffling along? And the Bible says in verse 47, he found out that it was the man named Jesus from the place called Nazareth. Now, I believe that Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. I think he had heard of his reputation as a healer. And so Bartimaeus, when he realizes who is coming his way, he decides to take some action. So when he hears that it is Jesus here of Nazareth, he begins to cry out. Now notice as he cries out, as a desperate man, which we're focusing on, as he cries out here, he's not going to be asking for alms. He's asking for healing. Okay? It's something about Bartimaeus where he knows enough about this man from Nazareth that he believes, if I can get his attention, I'm not going to only receive clothing. I'm not only going to receive food. I'm not only going to receive money. I'm going to receive something that perhaps, potentially, and hopefully, I have never, ever had the opportunity to receive before. So he's going to cry out for healing. So here's what he says. Jesus is walking by. He begins to cry out. Notice he begins because he doesn't stop. Okay, this is a continual action here from Bartimaeus in a state of desperation. And when he cries out, he tries to get Jesus' attention by saying, "Jesus, you Son of David, I'm asking you, please have mercy on me." Now, there is a lot in that phrase, Son of David. The crowds only knew Jesus as the man from Nazareth. It was Jesus the Nazarene. They knew where he was from. They knew how to identify him in that way. But Bartimaeus, with, in my opinion, more eyes of faith, well, these may be eyes that are blinded physically, but eyes that can see very well spiritually, Bartimaeus cries up and says, "You are not only a man from Nazareth, you are the Son of David himself." You say, "Well, hold on, what in the world does that mean?" Well, when Bartimaeus cries out, "Son of David," he's saying, "I believe you are the Messiah that Isaiah has prophesied about. You are the one we've been waiting for that the Old Testament has predicted is going to come, and I believe you are that man." And remember Wednesday night, as we went through, finish up Jeremiah and into Lamentations. I told you there that Jeremiah in chapter 31 has a statement about the new covenant. That is a statement, a covenant Jesus fulfills at the Last Supper with what we call the Lord's Supper. But here's what was important with that. The promise God made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 is you will never ever have a descendant that will cease to be on the throne. Forever and ever there will be a Davidic dynasty, and there will be one who is going to arise that will rule forever and ever and ever. That is the Messiah. And so in the future now, when they refer to the Messiah, they oftentimes refer to him as the Son of David. Okay? The Son of the Davidic covenant. So when Bartimaeus starts to scream out and does not only say Jesus is a man from Nazareth, but he is a Son of David, he is showing us his faith in believing that this one from Nazareth is also the Messiah and the one that was going to come fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. So he cries out. And he says, "Jesus, you Son of David, here's what I'm asking for. I'm simply asking for mercy. I'm throwing myself upon the mercy of this man from Nazareth." And basically, that's all Bartimaeus knows to do. I mean, what else do you do? You're blind. Bartimaeus has not seen Jesus at work before. So all he can do is cry out and say, "Lord, would you please have compassion and have mercy on me?" And he just keeps on crying out as a very desperate man. Now here's what happens. He goes from a desperate man, and now this feeds him, in my viewpoint, and makes him a determined man. Everything at this point, honestly, is against Bartimaeus. The crowd is going to be against him. His inability to see is against him. Jesus is busy right now on his way to Jerusalem. That's against him, but he's determined. So we find in verse 48, as he's crying out there saying, "Have mercy on me," there are many who are charging him. They're almost yelling at him. Can you imagine yelling at a very poor, wretched, blind beggar? And basically saying, "Would you please be quiet? Please stop your yelling. You are a nuisance. He does not have time for you, right? He's a busy man. Stop your yelling." And so they charge him. "So would you please close your mouth, stop your crying out, hold your peace." And here's what it says he did with his determination though. He cried out all the more. You know what I say about Bartimaeus? In this situation, he was blind, but now he also acts deaf. And the whole time they're telling him to be quiet, he completely ignores it, and he cries out all the more. So the Bible says, as he cries out all the more, probably even louder, he repeats the exact same words, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now in his determination, we wonder, what is Jesus going to do? He's on his way to the cross, right? He's on his way to starting the final Passion Week. And what most people view as a nuisance, the Bible says in the next verse, Jesus stopped. Verse 49, Jesus stood still right there, and he commanded for Bartimaeus to be called over there where he was. Now don't lose the significance of this. On his way to the cross, headed to Jerusalem for the final Passion Week, leading to his burial and resurrection, Jesus stopped. And here's what it shows us. Even with all that was going on, he was never ever too busy for a desperate cry from a person in need. He should have kept going. There's so many beggars out there. There are so many people out there in need, and he should have kept going. But there's something different about Bartimaeus. As he made his faith known in his crying out, you're going to also see now he's going to make his faith known in his stepping out. Here's what Jesus does. He stops right there, and he says, "I want you all to tell Bartimaeus to come over here where I'm at." So they call there to the blind man, and I would imagine as Jesus said that, they started whispering among themselves and thought, you know what? Who would have ever thought he would have stopped for this man? Who would have ever thought that this nuisance would have gotten his attention? So they go over there where Bartimaeus is sitting, and they say to him, "You can be of good comfort. You can be of good cheer. Go ahead and get up, because he is calling you." Now, in my Bible, I put some emphasis on that word there. He is calling you. Bartimaeus, he's not calling the guy beside you per se, although he may also receive the healing. Matthew says both of them did receive the healing. But Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. Now, maybe I need to hear this morning. God has got his eyes on you. Oh no, not where I work, among all them pagans, and all that language all day long. Listen to me. God has got his eyes on you. No matter where you are and what you're going through, listen to me. When you cry out in desperation, I believe it stops God in his tracks, if you want to view it that way. Jesus, on his way to the cross, stands still and says, "Bartimaeus, he heard your cry of faith. He's calling for you." And so what's Bartimaeus going to do? Well, what any of us would do, the Bible says, guess what? He got up. Specifically, as he gets up, his response is immediate. And the Bible says, as he is sitting there beside the road, he casts away his garment. Okay, that would be his outer garment. That would be his cloak, which I'm going to argue is a significant step of faith to take. Why would you have a cloak? Why do you have an outer garment? Two reasons here for this poor blind man living on the streets. Number one, it gives him something to sleep in. It's like a sleeping bag. And even on nights where you may not be very cold, most people still prefer to have something wrapped around them. So the poor beggar, Bartimaeus, has his cloak that I believe every night he wraps himself in as he sleeps there on the side of the street. But the second reason that is cloak. He would take that cloak and lay it up before the people, and as he is begging for alms, it would be that cloak that would be collecting the food and the money and the donations the people were providing. Now here's what's interesting. Bartimaeus takes something that has provided so much security for him. He casts it to the side, and the Bible says he rose. Now, don't miss one more thing here. If you are blind, you've got to be very, very careful where you put your cloak. Because if I am blind and I am seated there and I know this is what I use every night when I sleep, it's what I use to collect alms every single day. I promise you, I'm going to keep my cloak within arm's length at all times. I don't want to lose my cloak, right? I got to hang on to it. But when Bartimaeus gets up, he casts a cloak aside, and it's almost, now almost like Bartimaeus is thinking, I've got a feeling that I may not have any more trouble trying to locate this cloak once I get done with this man. He throws his cloak aside, and what the Bible says, not merely here, does he rise in verse 50, but a better translation here is, he jumped up. How would you feel if you were in a place of desperation and desperate need, and you can't see, and someone's coming down the road, and you've heard about this man that is healing the blind? So you cry out, man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm jumping up too, and I'm going to get there as quickly as I can because he is calling for me. And so I'm going to imagine as Bartimaeus throws a cloak aside and jumps up on his feet, it's either the disciples at that point or some others who are nearby, and they start grabbing him by the arm. And they start walking him over there like, hold on to him. And they finally get there where Jesus is standing. It's like, all right, Bartimaeus, you can't see him right now, but you're standing right in front of him right at this moment. Now Jesus is looking upon this man, and while the Bible does not say this, theologically speaking, every ailment, every disease, essentially is because of sin in the world, right? The power that Satan has in this world, the fall of man, upon the fall of man, all sickness and disease and death and sorrow enters the world. Now here's what I'm trying to figure out here. Jesus is the Son of God, sinless being, taken on flesh, is standing there now looking at a man who has been bound by the sickness of Satan for an untold number of years. And I just believe that Jesus is moved with compassion, seeing one of his own people there who is in this state. So Matthew says that when Jesus saw him there, he touched his eyes and brought healing to his sight. Mark doesn't add that detail. But now we've got Bartimaeus being led over where Jesus is. He's standing there now face to face with him. Now here's where the third part of the story kicks in for me. He jumps up in great faith. And this is what's, I don't know, this kind of stands out to me. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but here's what stands out to me. Bartimaeus is desperate. Bartimaeus is determined. Everybody's trying to keep him away. Listen, you're a nuisance. He doesn't have time for you. Just shut up. Just be quiet. Stop bothering this man from Nazareth. And when Bartimaeus now gets there, face to face, although he can't see him, face to face with the Son of David, he becomes a very direct man. There's no beating around the bush, or here's what happens. So Jesus answers and says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, isn't this is kind of weird. The healing did not come immediately. It could have. Bartimaeus is standing there, kind of bound by Satan with blindness and sickness for all these years. And Jesus could have just reached out and touched his face, touched his eyes. Or he could have spoken a word. Or sometimes he would take a little bit of the dirt and some spittle and make some mud. He's got different ways of dealing with people based on where they are in life. And that's the key. Based on where they are in life. And so for Bartimaeus, he could have just spoken a word or touched him. But instead, they have an interview. Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do for you? Is this another opportunity for Bartimaeus' faith to be tested? He's already cried out in faith, right? Because if he didn't believe Jesus could make a difference, he wouldn't have cried out. He's got some faith there. He's already stepped out in faith. Because if he didn't believe Jesus could make a difference, he would have never gotten up and cast his cloak aside. So Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do for you? And I believe he may have asked that question for the benefit of those standing around. For Bartimaeus, for it to be made very clear that there's blindness, and for Bartimaeus to make a statement. This is what Bartimaeus says. Very direct statement. That's why I say very direct. So Bartimaeus says to him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That's it. That's all I want. I mean, it's like if I were going to like reword this, I would kind of write this in verse 51. I just want to see. Right? Now, notice how he addresses Jesus. It says there, he calls him Lord, which honestly is a very poor translation in English. A better translation there is Rabboni. That's what your Bible should say. It's not the word Lord, it's the word Rabboni. You say, what's the deal with that? Well, that is an emphatic form of the word Rabbi. Rabboni means my master, my Lord. Now notice what Bartimaeus does. He now makes it personal. He looks there where Jesus is, is not able to see him physically, but responds and says, my master, my Lord, with my personal faith, this is what I want. I just want to see. Right? Very direct response. I'm making it very clear what I want. I just want to see. Now, some translations say from the Greek that I want to regain my sight. It makes us wonder, was Bartimaeus born blind or did it happen later in life? And honestly, by the context and the wording used, it almost appears that it's something that happened to him later in life. So Bartimaeus is saying, I just want to be able to see again. Okay? There was a time in my life, or maybe it was when he was too little and couldn't see everything, but Bartimaeus is like, there was a time in my life where I could see. I just want to see again. That's all I want. I just want to see again. So then we get to verse 52, and Jesus responds. Now again, Mark doesn't say that he touched him. Matthew does. And if it is the exact same encounter, he touches his eyes and brings the healing. But Jesus says in verse 52, here's what you need to do. Go your way, because your faith has made you whole. Now notice here. Literally it means your faith has saved you. But what I want you to see here is the healing and work in Bartimaeus' life is all about faith. It's not about works. There is nothing that Bartimaeus did. There's nothing about Bartimaeus, his life, his previous occupation, if he had one, or his wealth, or anything, that made Jesus bring the healing. He says, it's because of your faith. Right? You cried out in faith to me. You stepped out in faith to me. Bartimaeus, it's because of your faith. And because of your faith, now you are made whole. So the Bible says immediately, he received his sight. Now, don't miss this. We're standing there now on the roadside to Jericho. They've led him over by the arm. It's like, all right, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, you're standing right before him right now. All right, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I'm like, ain't it pretty obvious here? I want to see. All right, Bartimaeus. Now, Matthew says he touched him. All right, Bartimaeus, go your way. You've been here now. Now watch this. Jesus is standing there from Nazareth, right? Awesome power to heal. Bartimaeus is standing here the way I understand it. When Jesus makes the statement, go your way, he's immediately healed. You realize the first face this dude ever sees upon seeing Jesus' face. Isn't that something? Now, then that does this to me. Penny, I know you know the name. You may know the story. Years and years ago, little hymn writer named Fanny Crosby. Story says that when she was born, about 6 weeks into her life, she went blind. Fanny Crosby, I think, wrote about 6,000 hymns, 6,000 songs. And so later in life, there was a preacher and they're singing her songs and they have a little conversation with Fanny Crosby and they kind of express pity, right? Like, we're so sorry that, you know, with all the amazing talents God has given to you, we really just wish He had also restored your sight. Just wish He had done that. It is the response of Fanny Crosby to that statement that fits the context today. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. Here's what Fanny Crosby said about that in her perspective. She said, "If at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should be born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. At age 95, in the year 1915, she dies. And when her eyes are opened in eternity, guess who she sees? The very first being, we're assuming, her Savior. Now Bartimaeus is standing here. Eyes are opened up. And I'm going to assume here the very first person he places eyes on upon receiving his sight is Jesus himself. Wouldn't that be a story to tell to your grandkids? So it says here that Bartimaeus received his sight, and notice what he did. Upon expressing his faith and upon being healed, and probably also in the process of being saved spiritually, the Bible says he joined the crowd going up to the feast at Passover, and he followed Jesus along the road. Now realize at this point, Bartimaeus could have gone anywhere he wanted to go. He's got his sight now, right? I mean, it's like getting your driver's license. You turn 16 and you've passed all your tests. Now you've got some freedom. You can go anywhere you want to go. For the most part, right? You can go anywhere you want to go. You've got some freedom. Bartimaeus could have gone anywhere he wanted to go right now. Can you imagine the place he would have liked to have seen? All the people who's talked about the Dead Sea and how you can walk there into the sea and lay backwards and float on it. Like, oh man, I'd like to see that. And all the people that's talked about the Sea of Galilee and the fishing boats there and the net and pulling the net up and all the fish. He's like, man, I would love to see that. Can you imagine the vacations that Bartimaeus wants to take right now? And yet the Bible says, when his life was changed, his sight was restored, what did he do? He immediately followed where Jesus was along that road. Now, can I tell you real quick as a side note, that there is a picture of discipleship, right? As soon as your eyes are open, as soon as you are saved, your immediate desire is, I want to now follow where He is at. And that's why, for me, I have never understood in 21-ish, whatever years, being in church and ministry, I've never, ever understood, how can you get saved and not be in church somewhere following Christ? I've never understood that. Like, somebody help me. I don't understand it. How can you be saved and not want to be following after God in a local church somewhere and supporting missionaries and serving? I've never understood that. So I just went off for a bit. I have never understood that. When a person gets saved, their natural desire, spiritual, I want to follow now and live for God. And Bartimaeus, as soon as his eyes were restored, he starts following after him right to the feast. So that's a story of Bartimaeus. Let me give you an overall picture and then 2 points and we're done. The picture here of Bartimaeus shows our world today, right? Humanity going to and fro, spiritually blind, lost as they can be. And I'm going to tell you, in my lifetime, even in my lifetime, it is like shocking me. It is shocking me, Jerry. It is shocking me. It is shocking me, the things I'm seeing in our world, the language I'm hearing from people out publicly, the things. It is shocking me to see a world so lost that there's not even a desire anymore for anything with church or God. It's called secularism, by the way. And by the way, according to my Sunday school lesson, we're talking about the Great Tribulation now in our class. This world is spiraling down. And it's no surprise. The Bible says it's going to do that. The love of many grows cold. And we're going there very, very quickly, y'all. That is a world in which we live. The picture of Bartimaeus here is a world that is lost, that is blind, and is trying so hard to find something to help, and they always find the wrong thing. And Bartimaeus shows us that when Jesus walked by, He met him right where he was and changed his life. And those are the two things I want to give you. Just two takeaways from the story of Bartimaeus. Number one, I believe today that the Lord still pauses. Very busy, He was headed to the cross, but still pauses to meet people where they are and then to meet their deepest needs. Now, there's a difference in meeting needs and meeting deepest needs. The majority of people around you and around me throughout the week, I don't think they even know what their needs are. they're so messed up by things going on in the world and their philosophy and their mindset. It's really sad. But at some point, when people realize the deepest needs of their human heart, here's the good news. Jesus still stops today, pauses today, and meets them right where they are, if they'll just cry out like Bartimaeus did. And here's a second takeaway from this account of Bartimaeus. And this is good for us. I think there's a distinction here in how we express faith. And this is what I see in Bartimaeus. Express your faith by both your lips and your feet. Right? Bartimaeus did that. Okay, with his lips, he's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's called prayer. Okay? When you talk to God, when you make your needs known, when you lift up praises, that is called prayer. So Bartimaeus is basically praying out loud to the God who made him, the second person of the Trinity, and he's crying out here for need. Okay, that's called prayer. So with his lips, he's expressing faith. I believe that if I call out to you and you stop and act on my behalf, that you will bring healing to me and change my life. That is a prayer of faith. Okay, that is my lips. But what I want you to pick up on here is not only did Bartimaeus express faith with his lips, he is also expressing with his feet. And let me tell you why. If Jesus said, all right, y'all tell him to come over here where I'm at, and he did not believe what Jesus said enough to come over there and get up and go where Jesus was, he'd have never received this healing. Right? So the Bible says, yes, he called out with his lips in faith, right? That's called prayer. But then when God told him what to do, what did he do? He got involved, right? That's called action. And so Bartimaeus expresses faith, not only what he said in crying out in his prayer, but then when he was told what to do, his feet got involved and he did something about it. And to me, that stands out in the story. Okay, not just crying out in prayer, but Lord, you show me now what to do and I'll do it because I believe you enough that if I do this and trust you in the process, that you're going to uphold your end of the bargain. That's the account of Bartimaeus. And if you want to think about it this way, this might be what you call making sure that your walk matches your talk. Right? Okay, measure your feet and your actions match what you say with your mouth. Okay, that's what Bartimaeus is doing here. All he's doing is expressing faith. As a desperate man, determined man, very direct in what his request was, and then he waited to see what God was going to do. I kind of like that. So, let's close with that today in prayer. And as we close in prayer and bow together, this is our opportunity each week for response. And it may be today that that you feel the need to come before the Lord today in bowing, in prayer, at the altar. You're welcome to do so. Or it may just be there at your seat today that you've kind of got this thing where you're sitting by the road and and Jesus has walked by and you just want to cry out to Him in prayer and ask Him if He would assist, if He would work, if He'd get involved, if He'd intervene. And so whatever the need may be for that, and that is exactly what this time is for at the end of our service. And then just in case, as you're here with us today or maybe listening online and you're not a believer, you're not saved, Bible says that when Bartimaeus trusted Jesus, said, it's your faith that has saved you and made you whole. The same is true today. So if you are not a believer, perchance, this is another time that I think Jesus is walking by your life. One of these times is going to be the last time, but it's another time He's walking by your life, and all He's waiting for is your expression of faith in Him as Messiah, as Lord, as Savior. And you're committing your life to Him, to just follow Him. So I'm going to be quiet, and you have the opportunity as the piano's playing to pray, think, reflect. And then I'll close us right before we are dismissed. So, Father, as we close our time, you've heard our prayers. You know the needs and circumstances that have been lifted up, and we're trusting that you're able to take care of those. So please do that. And thank you for the reminder of the song that we are hearing. Simply, he touched me and made me whole. And we just saw that with Bartimaeus today. So bless now as we go. Work in the areas that we've lifted to you in prayer. And we close our time by lifting up our prayer to you in Jesus' name and asking your blessings upon each one. Amen.